Welcome to Light Everywhere Radio Broadcast with your host, Apostle Samuel Quay, ministering life-transforming Word of the Lord.
Hello, welcome to Light Everywhere Radio Broadcast. Good to have you one more time. Well, we're going to start with the subject of prayer, praying. Every believer should be a praying believer. Every Christian should be a praying Christian. Unfortunately, not every believer or Christian is a praying Christian. And those who pray, some of them also pray amiss. What I mean is, they pray not according to the word of the Lord. They ask for things that they have no business asking for. And they are even confused whether what they want to ask from God is the will of God or it's not the will of God. Where the Bible backs them, you know, in asking. So we are going to look at some of these things. Praying is one of the cardinal pillars of the believer's life. Yet it is very, very misinterpreted and misunderstood and abused. And I've realized over the years, some see prayer as one size fits all. It answers every kind of situation, every kind of problem, every kind of crisis. But not every problem or situation is a prayer problem. And therefore, if we're going to pray, we have to know the principles regarding prayer or how God wants us to pray. He is our Father. He wants to hear us. He's ready to hear us. He's ready to do what He says He would do. But are we praying according to His will? Or are we praying according to our own will? In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, the Bible says, "Then he, Jesus, spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not to lose heart." Men always ought to pray and not to lose heart. So we can underscore that statement. We need to pray and we always have to pray. But what does that mean? All right. And then also in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says, "Pray without ceasing." Pray without ceasing. Okay, what does that mean? Does it mean that you wake up, you don't do anything, you just sit by your bedside or sit on your bed and pray and pray and pray till the day is over? Okay, what does that mean? We are going to look at all these things in the series of lessons that we are going to handle. Pray without ceasing. And then again, when we look at Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. 7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus." And that reminds me of another verse. We'll come back to Philippians, but let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. There too, Bible talks about prayer. And we're going to read that. It says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." I'll take it again. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Here, it starts in verse 10, talking about, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Hallelujah. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, when we look at even this passage, it's not just about praying always with all prayer and doing nothing, but it's talking about put on the whole armor of God. Take this, do that. So I want us to understand that for some reason, some have been deceived, thinking that so far as they pray and regarding any situation or relating to any circumstance, then that's all that they have to do. No, there are times we need to pray, and there are times we need to know just exactly what to do apart from prayer. So this says it all. Let's look at Philippians. We're going back to Philippians 4 and 6, for instance. It says, be anxious for nothing. The Bible doesn't say, pray that you not be anxious. It says, it's a command. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not worry about anything. So it's a choice. You don't have to pray that, Father, help me. God, help me. God, help me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Not to worry. No, we are doing it wrongly. You have the responsibility. You have the ability. If he says, be anxious for nothing or don't worry, it means that you have been given already the mind that is so clear, that is full of assurance that God is God, is your provider, is your source, is your shield, is your buckler, he is your protector, he goes with you, he comes in with you, he's in covenant with you. There's nothing that you're ever going to need on this earth that he cannot provide if he has not already provided. So he says, don't worry. In fact, Jesus says that in Matthew chapter 6, when the 33rd verse, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But from verse 25, he says, don't be anxious for anything, or be careful for nothing. What you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to be, and all that kind of thing. Yeah, you have the responsibility. It means that you are in a state, you are in a condition, you are in a place, legally, technically, spiritually, by way of covenant, you are in a place that you are okay. You are very, very okay. You are secure because the covenant that God cut with every believer has brought the believer to a place where they are all very, very okay. And we can take it back to the garden. When God created Adam and Eve, they were very okay. He didn't create them, and then after they showed up, then he said, oh, I wasn't thinking about what food they were going to eat. Oh, I wasn't thinking about shelter for them. Oh, I forgot to, what they're going to put on their feet and stuff like that. But God created everything that they are ever going to need to make them successful and make them cool, comfortable, make them effective, efficient on this earth and fulfilling their destiny. Then he created them. So everything was provided before he created them. Why am I going to all these things? The understanding of all these things, your covenant with God as a believer, is important. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So knowing these things, brings you to a place when you are praying, you pray from a place or a position of victory. You pray from a position of as a victor. You pray from a position as somebody who has assurance and not a victim, not somebody who is worried. Some, at times, when people say they are praying, there's no need to pray. Probably what they should be doing is thanking God, rejoicing for what he has already done. But they go into so-called praying. And so, I want to warn you, listeners, what you are going to hear, some things are going to challenge the religious way that you have been praying. Some things that you're going to hear is going to challenge the traditional way of your praying. And, you may say that has been the routine, but these routines and these traditions and these religious kind of moves, if they are not based on the word of God, I know that you are going to be challenged. It's not to insult anyone. It's not to create any kind of offense, but it's to bring people to a place of scriptural way of praying, and we having results, we being effective in our prayer, and we seeing changes and transformation in the lives of people and in their circumstances. So at times, there's a struggle people who are even praying, they don't even know whether it's the will of God or not the will of God. So, for instance, somebody is sick, and then they don't know even how to go about a prayer, whether to pray for the person to be healed or just to leave it alone. So at times people pray like this: Father, if it's your will, heal this person. If it's not your will, then well, let your will be done. That's confusing. Before one decides to pray, one will have to find out what the will of the Lord is, or what is the scriptural kind of stand position regarding whatever they want to pray about. That is very, very important. Very, very important. So first find out from the Word of God. How do you know whether it's the will of God? The Word of God is the revealed will of God. And I'll take it this way. Which earthly father sees their own child sick and then they want them sick? But every parent will do everything, you know, in their power to make sure that the child is going to be well. So if we that are earthly, we know how to give good gifts to our children or how to take good care of them, how much more our Heavenly Father, who is our shepherd? Hallelujah. So some of these things are just very simple. Some people go into this religious thing that, oh, well, I did so and so last time or some years ago, and so God is punishing me. God is put this sickness on me to teach me a lesson. God doesn't put any sickness on anybody to teach them any lesson. If it is so, then why will God anoint Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed by the devil? For God was with him. If that is the case, then all those in the medical field, they are in sin because they are working against the purpose of God. Nobody came to Jesus who was sick. And Jesus said, you know what? You look at you, you sinner, you wicked person. You've been doing this, you've been doing that. God is punishing you. So go away. I'm not going to heal your sickness. I'm not going to heal your disease. But every sick person that came to Jesus was healed. Then when we look at even the disciples that he trained, Peter and co., you look at them and you see them doing the same thing. They went about, they were preaching, they were teaching, and they were also, you know, in the healing business. They were in the deliverance business. So why all this confusion? You know, why do we go with people's opinion instead of what the Bible says? Let's go to the Bible and let's know what the Bible says and let's pray accordingly. And then we are going to have results. God wants to answer our prayer. God wants to hear us. God wants to work with us. He's not against us. It's for us. At times we say we are waiting on God, or we are waiting for God to make a move, when he's waiting for us to make the move. And in this series, we are going to tackle some of these things. We have to have the faith that takes and not the faith that waits. We have the faith that takes. So let's go and take it. Let's take possession of what already has been given to us, and let's stop waiting for what is there for us to grab. And we are still waiting for God to move. That is not going to work. We bring undue suffering unto ourselves. When we understand the word of God, we are just going to be all right. We are just going to be okay. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you are going to tune in again next time, same time, and listen to the continuation of this. Love you guys.
Thanks for tuning in to today's broadcast. For copies of today's message, please write to Light Everywhere, P.O. Box 136, Manchester, Connecticut 06040. Again, Light Everywhere, P.O. Box 136, Manchester, CT 06040.